Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this afternoon, we're joined by Mark Sefton, who is joining us from the Midlands in England, in the UK. So not a million miles away from me. And Mark is a mentor for entrepreneur and a media mogul, or, you know, one in the making, whatever. He's into all things media, magazines and TV and all that sort of stuff. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Mark. What is it you're doing right now in business?
Well, first of all, it's great to be here, Mike, and hello, everybody. Mark Sefton, based in Leamington Spa. And I love people, I love business, I love leadership. And I think, you know, in terms of what I'm up to, it's really an expression of those things. I'm doing some great things, some exciting things with others as well. Yeah, I've been mentoring entrepreneurs for about 10 years, and I have been in media for probably about the same. I started off in radio with my show Talk Business, did that for about 6.5 years, then transitioned into TV. So I have a TV show called One More Round, which is on Roku and Apple TV. And obviously COVID kind of threw a spanner in the works. So I haven't been overly productive with that since we've not been able to meet. It's made it a little challenging technically. But I've been writing lots of articles. I've just finished writing my third book, which is going to be for men. And I'm going to launch that in a few months' time. And I'm already the author of two of the self-leadership books called Inside Job and Plot Twist. And maybe we'll talk about them a little later. And I've currently just taken on a new role as part of a leadership team with Brains magazine, which operate out of Stockholm, Sweden, and I'm the Brains magazine ambassador and also the host of their up and coming podcast, and I host a number of clubhouse rooms as well, which is, as you know, Mike, something we both really enjoy and definitely see it as our own playground.
Yeah, definitely. I've been using social media for 20 years since LinkedIn come in. Pretty much every day for a substantial amount of hours every day. And as soon as I seen Clubhouse, I thought, well, this is like America. When people first started going over to America, it's like the Wild West, you know, stick your pitchfork in the ground and build, some fences and build an empire, like, you know, build a fort, whatever it may be. So as soon as I joined it, which was the 7th of January, I haven't been off it, literally haven't been off it. I started off 20 hours a day. For the first 3 weeks, then got down to about 4.5 to 6 hours a day. And now I'm doing, I was sleeping 4 hours a day. I was doing 20 hours a day for the first 3 weeks. And I was sleeping 4.5 to 6.5 hours a day for the next 3 weeks. And now I've been sleeping 7 to 8 hours a day. So I've been using it all the rest of the time other than when I'm podcasting. And I love it. I love it's the only truly social media as far as I'm concerned. The rest of social media is social media marketing mostly. And this is proper social media, chatting with people, and I love networking, and it's all about, you know, you can network and socialize, you can talk business, you can do whatever you want to, you know, all at the same time, which is what I love. What is it about Clubhouse that you really love?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. I mean, I must admit, I feel like Clubhouse was made for me because I love to create a space for conversation. I love connection as well. So like you, I love networking, meeting new people. And then I love to give a voice to things that I'm passionate about and open it up for other people to engage, you know. And I've got two clubs. One's called One Thing, which is literally I take one thing and everybody shares one thing. So yesterday the room was what one thing do men want from women? And the one on Saturday was what one thing do women want from men? And it was a beautiful space where men were taken to the stage sharing what they really look for in a woman. And the women did the same on the Saturday. And my other room or my other club is Open Mic Leadership, which is basically, we talk about all things leadership, but there's an open mic for everybody to contribute. You know, so I think it's just the premise of meeting new people and then create an environment where other people can add and we build together. We're better together.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So yeah, I got two clubs as well. Mine's called Screw the Big Rooms. Because we offer a completely different experience than the big rooms. We offer inclusivity. I make everyone a moderator. As far as I know, I'm the only one to do that. So everyone's on a level playing field. and everyone gets a chance to stay on the stage. They can pop off and come back on because it runs 24/7. So it's just building a community where everyone's equal and everyone has a chance. So rather than the dick swinging or the, you know, I'm better than you, or, you know, trying to funnel people into a funnel or any of that sort of stuff, which goes on in some of the bigger rooms, I'm all about, you know, just getting there, having a chat. I call it the social club or the bar area of the convention center where people can just come in and enjoy themselves. And then I've got another club which I've set up, which I haven't started doing rooms in yet, but I'm going to start doing my own big events in, which is called Clubhouse Connections. So like when I want to do big events, I can't do Screw the Big Rooms. So I'll go into Clubhouse Connections and do them in there, you know? So yeah, they're mine too. But yeah, I believe the same as you, just getting connecting with people, networking and that sort of thing. So what you do a lot of obviously mentoring and events and all of that sort of thing. What got you into all of that? What did you do historically to, if you like, give you that confidence and ability and belief to get into this space that you're in now?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all have experiences that shape us or create an opportunity. I think in terms of the backstory, my influence in terms of entrepreneurship came from my grandfather. He was a serial entrepreneur, dealt with jewelry and insurance, and he used to have a market at Coventry Market when really most businesses were bricks and mortar. They were tangible. They weren't, you know, online spaces at that point. And I think, you know, from a young age, I helped him deliver fruit and vegetables to local restaurants, pubs and hotels. I saw the two basic principles of business. One is solving a problem. It's like, what problem do you solve? The second part really was about reputation. My grandfather had a great rep. And I realized that in business, the reputation is the most important. If that's shot, you're really on your legs. So reputation and solving a problem were something that I really saw through my grandfather. I hated school. I got my GCSEs, but I've always learned by doing. And I always had an itch to kind of be a master of my own ship. And I was working mainly in hospitality, really. And that's a very people-focused, customer service focused industry. Always found that people naturally opened up to me, even on the playground. You know, I'd have other kids say, you know, Mark, you know, my parents have divorced or whatever. And it wasn't until I went through my own parents' divorce that things became a little difficult for me. And thankfully, a teacher really helped me move through that space and saw a leader in me. I was always kind of putting them in the shadows of my more academic sister, which, you know, was never her fault, but teachers would always say on parents' evening, I wish Mark was more like his academic sister. And that used to sting, you know, as you can imagine. And I put on a lot of weight when my parents divorced, and I comfort ate a lot. And it wasn't until a teacher called Mr. Aldridge came along. He was from Hull, and he was about 6'6". And he came to our school, and our school was predominantly a football playing school, and I love football. It's my first like sport, really. But he brought basketball, and after about 6 weeks, I started training every Friday after school. The weight started pouring off. He said, Mark, he said, I saw your dedication. He said, your teammates really like you. He said, we're going to make you the school captain. It was the first time that anybody had seen something in me where I didn't feel inferior or in the shadows. And that was definitely a catalyst for my own kind of development. And then when I was in hospitality, I was working with teams and, again, love developing people. And I believe that your skill makes room for you. Your gifting makes room for you. And, it was when I was working at Warwick Castle, which is one of the finest medieval castles in the United Kingdom, I come across a lady called Danny Johnson, and she was talking in a whole different language that we hear all the time now. But she was saying things like, the greatest place to invest is in yourself. And I was like, whoa, this like lady is really firing me up. And the only downside to the interview I saw of her on TV was she was in the States. But at the very end, she said, me and my husband Hans were coming to London, England. And these are the dates. And you know what? It was one of those moments, Mike, where I was like, I've got to be there. And so I invested £500-600 over a 2-day course in London. And my boss at Warwick Castle actually said to me, he said, you know, what are you doing this weekend? I said, actually, I'm going to this event. And he said, what, you've invested that money in yourself? I said, yes. And he said, Mark, I'll pay for your hotel room, you know, because I think it's excellent that you're investing in yourself. And I went, and she's an incredible lady, great coach. It's Danny with an I, so it's Dani. Still very much coaching now and really successful in the States. And yeah, I went to her seminar, and that was the catalyst. And I thought, okay, what skills have I gotten, and what is the opportunity here for me? And so I created my own hospitality consultancy business. And then after meeting a dragon from Dragon's Den, Rachel Alnor, over coffee in Bakewell in near Derbyshire, it was actually her suggestion of me pivoting to working with entrepreneurs. That's really kind of what coincided with me launching my own radio show, which I did with a community radio called Radio Plus. And I did that for 6.5 years. And that's really been a part of my story of how I've wound up where I am now.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, we are quite similar. So my mum and dad divorced at 8, and that's what got me into entrepreneurship at 11. Started hustling and stuff, and I was always good in sports, so I was always a bit of one of the leaders in the teams and stuff, so got that leadership going early on as a youngster. And I went into sales full-time at, like, 15. Well, I went in, like, for the summer holidays, and then did a wraparound sales evenings and weekends while I was in college, and then went straight into sales as a team leader because I was already in management and supervising when I was in college and when I was in the summer holidays and stuff because I'm a natural leader. I've been managing people ever since, like, from 18 upwards, like, you know, and run sales teams and all of that. And I decided to go alone when I was, like, 33 because I got fed up of making millionaires more millions, like, you know, so I just thought, well, go and crack on and make myself some money. Realised yeah. that your job stands for just over broke. When you're in one, you're always going to be just over broke. And, you know, start getting into the world of networking, personal development, you know, speakers, you know, motivated speakers, entrepreneurs, speakers, all of that sort of stuff. And just started realising, like what you did, like, you know what I mean? Started learning about investing in yourself and, you know, developing. I've always been a self-learner all my life, you know, upskilling and wanting to get better and better. Sales is a job like that where you can earn more money if you keep learning. Mm-hmm. So you just keep learning and invest in yourself. So with sales management, so sales directorship, all that sort of stuff. So you're constantly investing. But then, you know, I discovered the world of personal development, and I've been studying off the best people on the planet in some of the areas I want to be the best person on the planet in. And, you know, I've been blogging for 15 years, but I started podcasting last year. And I was like, why didn't I find podcasting all this time ago? Because, like, I much prefer to speak than type, which is why I much prefer Clubhouse than any other social media platform, you know. And I started a YouTube channel. I've had a few over the years, but I didn't really know what I wanted to produce. Now I just put I'm into efficiency massively, which is one of my key. I got a success formula as well as a happiness formula, which I created to start the pandemic. And one of my success formulas is efficiency. You know, being able to do everything you do more efficient than you do at the moment. It's one way of building success and increasing time, because people say you can't buy more time, but you can if you do everything you do quicker. You free up more time, and then you can put that time into other things that are going to help you to grow. So efficiency is massive. So I started doing a podcast. Then I used to do a lot of network, and I used to do a lot of Zoom follow-up meetings. So I thought, well, let's stick the audio into the podcast, stick the video into YouTube, create social media content from it all, because I've always been social media marketing for a long time. So I'm like, I'm doing a networking follow-up, a podcast, you know, and a YouTube and social media content all at the same time. So for me, that's just like, it ticks my efficiency tip. So I love it. Like, you know what I mean? And this is like, we've just met through an introduction through a friend. We had a couple of conversations on Messenger, and now we're having a follow-up and a networking meeting, and I'm producing content all at the same time. So I love it. Like, you know what I mean? Some people would take about 4 hours to do what I can do in about an hour because of this 45 minute chat and then the 15 minutes of stuff that I do with it following that, like, you know?
Yeah. There's so much that I want to respond to what you said there. The first one was the fact that actually when you look at entrepreneurs, a lot of them have come from a problematic childhood. And the reason why we're so good at problem solving is because when we go through a divorce, we were both 8 in our respective experiences, it enables you to need to problem solve quick, because when you lose the dynamic of a parent moving out, You know, you're in a place where actually you've got to really think on your feet. And so the great thing with that for both of us, Mike, is we then are really good at problem solving, which is the essence of any business and is often found in the core of every entrepreneur. So that was one thing that I wanted to add to
what... The other one as well is you move around quite a lot. Oh, I did when my mum and dad divorced. So actually it got me into socializing with new people, which was a real key thing. Did you experience a bit of that as well?
Yeah, I guess there would be other influences where you kind of, because I think when, I always say that when somebody leaves your life, they actually are doing you a favor because they're actually creating a space for somebody new. So that's how I like to frame things, you know, when we lose somebody in our life, whether it's through death or whether it's through choice. You know, I think, yeah, having that ability to then connect and kind of feed from other influences is a healthy thing. You know, and yeah, I would say that's true as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And there was some other stuff you wanted to respond to. Sorry for being, but it's just I like the two-way conversation best when it goes two-way. It's because you can really bounce off each other then, and experiences, which is really good.
Exactly. Yeah, you're passionate and enthusiastic, so I get that, Mike. I'm the same way. And yeah, the other thing that I wanted to respond to was you were talking about efficiency and about time. So, interestingly, I'm never late actually for my commitments, but actually I manage my energy and not my time. And what I mean by that is there's three filters that I have that help me manage my energy, which means I only do the things that I love, I only do the things that excite me, and I only do the things that take me to where I want to go. So when somebody says to me, Mark, do you want to do this, they're the three questions that I ask. Am I good at this? Does this excite me? And will this take me to where I want to go? And one of my favorite books is, you know, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And my favorite habit is start with the end in mind. So, you know, like yourself, we kind of arrive at the same point, but through probably two different routes, which is perfectly fine. The main thing I always say is the fruit. If the fruit is good, how you grow that fruit and how you nurture it can really be as expressive and as individualistic as it needs to be. But the main thing is it produces fruit. And so, yeah, the energy management is very much where I focus. So we're ending up at the same place, but through two different expressions. But it's great.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, the start with the end in mind, I actually haven't read that book. And lots of people do advise it, The 7 Habits of Highly Productive People. But I'm more a Brian Tracy fan. So I've read The Psychology of Sales, The Psychology of Success, The Psychology of Millionaires, Eat That Frog, you know, and I'm a big John DeMartini fan, and lots of other people, Grant Cardone, because of the space he's in, he's sales, I'm sales. Gary Vee, because of the space he's in, he's digital marketing, I'm digital marketing, you know. So those guys, I don't really learn off Grant or Gary Vee, but they just reinforce what I already know. They say the same things to me, I say to myself, which is always good to have positive reinforcement. But I always start with the end in mind. I'm a big picture thinker. And then, because I'm a strategist, and so you've got to know what the end is in order to plan the strategy to get there. And I think that's the biggest mistake so many entrepreneurs make, is that they don't have an end goal, therefore they don't have a plan of action, and their business plan don't make no sense. A lot of the time it's just got in there, I'm going to do sales and marketing, and that's the biggest bit of any business. And a lot of the time it's just got like a one line, you know, I'm going to sell X amount of products or whatever, but there's no level of detail on how they're going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's it, yeah. So most entrepreneurs that are going in wrong, they're putting a lot of hard work in, but often in the wrong direction. But you know what I mean? And that's the mistake a lot of people, they run around like a busy headless chicken.
Yeah, it's true. Being reactive rather than proactive, and prevention over cure, you know, that's what we really need to get to. We need to be proactive and not reactive to what life throws at us personally or professionally. And we need to understand the importance of prevention over cure, you know. And I think those two, being really intentional, I've been really intentional, Mike, for probably 12 years of my life. I do things with heart, I do things with purpose, or I don't do them. And I really feel like you need to know where you're heading before you set out. You don't need to have all the detail, but you need to kind of, you know, when you set the GPS before you head on your route in your car, you need to know where you're going.
Yeah, well, I only discovered my real why I think in the start of the pandemic, after going on a friend of mine's podcast who did my life story. It was the first time I ever gone through my life in chronological order, you know, in small increments. And a lot of people find writing a book cathartic for the same reason. You know, a lot of people start at the beginning and work their way through. And if you actually analyze your life, which I'd never done before in my life, never really wondered why I did things, you just do them, don't you? Like, you know what I mean? And you just get on with it. I'm a forward thinker, not a backwards thinker. So I've never, ever looked really back into my life too much. But actually going through my life story and saying it in a chronological order, it really pinpointed to me why I do what I do. And that really allowed me to crystallize my why. But I'd always been around my why anyway, luckily, because I'm somebody who's I'm a high empathy, good understanding. I'm understand that you've got to do what you love in life and that. So I've always gone towards, gravitated away from what I don't like and towards what I do like naturally, yeah, because of my instincts and stuff. So I was always around my why. I really crystallized my why at the start of the lockdown. And like you say, once you really have crystallized your why and you're really like, you're like laser focused on it then, rather than just dotted around it, you know, you can really sort of create some energy and momentum then. And actually that's what I've been doing since doing that. So I crystallized my why just before the pandemic, I think, or maybe just the start of the pandemic. And then like since then I've written a book, I've written a health happiness formula and a success formula. I created 950 episodes on a podcast. I went from networking 3 times a week to 6 to 10 times a week online. And I've done a 24/7 room on Clubhouse, you know, and my numbers on social media are going through the roof. And that's because I've really crystallized my why. I know exactly where I'm going now, exactly where I'm heading, rather than, you know, a little bit, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. All the stuff around the right area. But I've nailed it now and said, no, that's what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm going there and this is how I'm going to do it. And this is the steps I'm going to, this is the middle goals I need to get done to hit the big one. And this is the daily routine I got to do every day to hit those middle goals, which I know once I hit those middle goals, that massive goal, which I'm going for, will seem much closer.
Yeah. They say that we're born twice, when you're physically born and then the day when you know what you were born to do.
Yeah, definitely. And that's it. The two birthdays, you know, your real birthday and the date you know exactly what you're here for. And a lot of people actually never find that out, do they? Some people never get to it. And some people, like, what's his name? KFC man, Colonel Sanders, wherever, he found his out in his 60s and still managed to build an empire and leave a legacy. You know what I mean? So it's never too late. I'm lucky. I've always been quite advanced for my age. I found mine, crystallized mine at like 42, 43. I know some people have done it 20, 30 and that. Some people really are on it straight away. Yeah. Some people really find what their why and then have to find another one because the why doesn't, like in sports or that sort of thing, the why doesn't take them long enough, like, you know what I mean? So they have to find something else. And there's all sorts of different sort of ways around it. But I would say I'm quite lucky that I've really honed in on what I'm going to do for the rest of my life at like 42, you know, so I've got a good 40, 50, however many years to actually get it done, which you could do almost anything in 40, 50 years if you're putting enough energy into it and heading in the same direction consistently.
Exactly. But it's all about crystallizing that why. And if it doesn't take you to that lighthouse, you say no. And that's very much how I've been living for quite a long period of time now. If it doesn't sit with my mission, doesn't sit with my strengths, doesn't sit with my excitement, then I don't say yes to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same now. If it doesn't float my boat, I'm not interested. I've been in the game too long to do stuff I don't want to do. I just do what I want to do, which is why I love life. Like, you know what I mean? It's quite easy. I just do what I want to do every day. Every day I have my own little routines and what I want to do, and I just enjoy it. And people tell me sometimes, oh, do this or do that or whatever. I'm like, no. No, I'm just going to do what I want to do. You know what I mean? I've only got one life. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to live it the best way I can, which is basically do what I want to do. You know, I don't want to do what you want to do because that's your life.
Exactly.
Okay. So people, they mean the best. They give you the best intentions. I give a lot of entrepreneurs advice, and especially startups and young entrepreneurs. I'm a business wealth mentor, so I help people with the digital market space and all of that. And And I'm always on Clubhouse giving advice and whatever. But when I give my advice, I quite often give it with a, but don't take my advice if it's not right for you. You know, put it through the filter of what you're trying to achieve, because, you know, just because I'm giving you advice from my perspective or from what I know can work in certain situations, but it doesn't mean it's going to be right for you. And you've got to sort of put that through your filter. Or you've got to, like I used to call it panning for gold. You've got to sort of pan the crap and end up with a little bit of gold that you want to take out of someone's advice. Yeah, and sometimes you decide, actually, there's no gold in this advice. You know, other times you say, actually, it's all gold. I'll take the whole lot. Thank you very much. But a lot of the time, with most of the entrepreneurs I ever met, I should just take a little bit of golden nugget here, a golden nugget there, and say, well, you take the rest of your advice. It's not right for me. And that's what I always try and educate people, is take the right advice from the right people who are doing and living the life that you want to live, rather than living a successful one, but very different. You know, because... Yeah. You can end up in the wrong area otherwise, doing the wrong things.
Yeah, my dad always says, eat the meat, spit out the bones.
Yeah. I get the impression on that. So we covered a little bit of what you're doing, but I know you're. I think you said you're writing for Entrepreneur Magazine, and you're an ambassador or somebody working with the Brains Magazine as well. Tell us a little bit about the sort of day-to-day of those sort of activities, and what sort of people you like to network and connect with that might benefit you in those sort of roles and functions.
Yeah, I mean, going back to my energy management, as does this excite me, am I good at this, does it take me to where I want to go, that's pretty much why I write. I have a TV show, why I mentor entrepreneurs, why I speak and MC events. And I know that we have a lot of crossover here, Mike. And I've been writing for Entrepreneur for about 8 years, and it's just a great way to really articulate some of my own wisdom, my own failings, the things that I've got wrong, and then love to share that to help other people not make the same mistake. And I've been writing for Brains Magazine for 7 months, and I knew I had some skills that I felt would add to their offering. And so, I think it's through their own openness to consider as well, and take some encouragement in terms of what I feel like we could collectively create. Now I'm the Brains Ambassador. So it gives me a chance to open up the opportunity for other contributors to write for the magazine, because it is an invite or approval led authorship, where people have to be approved and allowed to kind of write into that space. And then that alongside that, I get to host that up and coming podcast, and been hosting a few Clubhouse rooms as well. That's been specifically for just engaging in conversation for other coaches, other content creators. I think we're very similar, Mike, in the sense we have a real passion for people. We have a real passion for business, and marrying those two up through, whether it's the written word or the verbal word, really playing to our strengths, but also finding brands that have that shared passion. And that's pretty much, what I've been doing more recently.
Yeah, good. I'm on a mission to try and help as many entrepreneurs on the planet, because my crystallizing my why is just I like helping people. That's what I realized. So I thought, well, if I like helping people and there's a pandemic coming, why don't I just help as many people as I can? So that's pretty much what I do. So every day I spend like hours of every day just helping people, either giving them tips and advice, sharing contacts with them, giving them some strategy, getting them think about some things they haven't thought about, giving them some social media tips, Clubhouse tips, whatever. I just find ways. Part of my happiness formula is random acts of kindness. And I find ways to do random acts of kindness. It makes you feel good, and it don't cost anything, and it takes seconds, because I'm on social media all the time anyway. I like people's posts. I comment on their nice comments. I high-five people, heart people, just share their posts onto my posts. Also, it takes no time whatsoever. When you're already doing stuff anyway, it takes 2 seconds to just do something else.
Yeah.
And I teach people how to do this random acts of kindness, just to smile to people, ask how they're doing, talk to the, you know, the bus driver, say thanks, drive, when you're getting off, you know, the checkout girl in the till, you know, lift the buggies off the bus or open the door. So many things that you could do that's just kind. And a lot of people do them anyway, but not everybody does. So, but you know, the social media ones are the ones I like to teach people. Just do it. Just engage in other people as you help build their algorithm up. You're actually helping them grow their business just by just a little couple of comments and stuff. Like, it takes 2 seconds. You know, so many people, like they press the thumbs up on LinkedIn or whatever, and that's it. They don't actually ever comment, or, you know, it's just laziness, just quick, oh yeah, I liked it, but I don't want to really add no value to it, like, you know. Yeah. But if you get involved in conversation in the comments, it helps the algorithms build up, and all of a sudden somebody's posts are going much further, reaching more people. You've helped them grow their business just with a little bit of commentary, like, you know. So I teach people things like that, and, you know, all that sort of thing. And the Clubhouse, I'm constantly teaching people. I tell people constantly, make sure you put a good profile together, have good top three lines, add your Twitter and your Instagram in, all that sort of thing. Like, you know, I offer everyone I meet an option to come on the podcast. So for me, it's just about, like, if you can do good things in the world and it don't cost you anything to do it, just a little bit of time, then why, it don't make no sense to me why you wouldn't do it. So I just try and encourage other people to do that, like, you know. What's your why? What's your mission? Why? What do you get out of bed for every day to do?
Yeah, so I mean, my mission really is around influence, and, you know, I really want to get inside people's heads to unlock them, whether it's through something I say or how I am. My vision and heart really is with any interaction, whether it's a client or a stranger, or, you know, even a cashier at Tesco. You know, my vision and heart is to make them feel better than what they did before my interaction. So yeah, either feel better, you know, or actually are enlightened, you know. So I like to deposit, I like to give of who I am, whether it's through my energy, through the way that I think, or my ability to problem solve. It's always intentional to want to leave people in a better state than what I found them, which is why I write, which is why I mentor, which is, you know, why I speak. You know, and so that's the love of life that I have. And I think, you know, that's very much my why. You know, I'm here on this podcast with you because I think if what I say impacts one person, it was definitely worth doing. And if people say to me, Matt, how do we change the world? And I say, we change the world by changing one person. And that one person starts with yourself. It then starts with one other. And if we change one person, then in effect, we do change the world. And so that's very much my why.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also, I believe in, like, if you give to others, it creates energy. And whether that energy comes back to you or not doesn't really matter. A lot of the time, it'll go forward. It creates more energy. So if you do something good for somebody else, they'll do something good for somebody else, because they think, oh yeah, somebody did something good for me today, I'm going to return the favor, and they pay it forward. And generally, you can create a domino effect around the world. You know, if you're doing lots of these fire starting, you're just setting little fires up here and there and everywhere. Some of them just go one person, some will go three, four, some will just keep going. They'll just chains around the world, like, you know, and you literally are having an impact on the world, like, you know. And that's the reason I create the content as well, because I can then, you know, I can start those fires and those chains while I'm asleep. You know what I mean? You create a podcast episode, stick a YouTube together. It lives forever. You know what I mean? You just never know when you're going to help somebody. You know, you just never know when something you've said one day, you can even prevent people taking their own lives, and you can put people on a new path of entrepreneurship that, because they did a dead-end job forever, which I've done quite a lot of times. I've had people come up to me and said, oh, because you did it, I did it, and or because you said this, whatever, which is great. But, you know, to me, like, entrepreneur, it's not for everybody, but it is for a lot of people, more so than the people who actually do it, because a lot of people don't have the chance, or they don't have the opportunity, or they don't have the mindset or whatever. But if they had the chance, or they had the opportunity, or they had the mindset, or they had a bit of seed money, or they had a strategy or whatever, then some people would choose to get out of the rat race and take it, but they just haven't been given those opportunities. So I'm all about trying to inspire and educate and help the people who are, you know, a bit like yourself. Maybe you was an academic, but there's another way than the one the big system says you've got to do. There's an alternative route to life, like, you know. And no matter what age, you know, I work with entrepreneurs of all age. I love working with startups and young entrepreneurs, but I work with them at all age. And just if you can inspire them to keep on the journey, or you can educate them to keep going because they're going to make a bit more money because of the sales and marketing techniques you've told them, or the strategy, which means they're more likely to get a few more customers, which means, because a lot of people, they give it a go, but they fail in the first 5 years because they just don't know what they're doing. So I try and help them and just keep them going. Like, you know, a lot of people, I used to do sales and marketing consultancy training and services, but in Wales, a lot of people couldn't afford the amount of work they needed. So I used to just be like, oh, listen, I'll just do it for you. Like, you know what I mean? I'll just do it for you. And if you grow big one day, just remember me, buy me a drink or something. Like, you know, that's how I sort of got into it a bit. Like, you know, because I was just like, well, you can only afford like £100 a month. I can't do anything for you for £100 a month. Let me just give you like £500 a month of services and just get you on your way, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's sort of I suppose why I started just donating marketing services. And that's then in the pandemic, I used to do that, just small number of clients here and there, ones that I couldn't afford but I really liked them and I just wanted to help them. And then I just thought in the pandemic, well, everybody's like that. Everybody needs help. Everyone's pivoted. You know what I mean? Everybody needs a bit of help with online marketing, whatever. So I just thought, just do it. Just share the love. Just help people in whatever way you can.
Yeah, I think it's Zig Ziglar, wasn't it, who said, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll always have what you want.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I've listened to stuff like that. Also, a really good friend of mine, I met him at a networking event. He was a keynote speaker. And then I got him on my podcast. And now we follow each other on social and engage quite a lot. His name is Bob Berg. He's written a best-selling book called The Go-Giver. He's in the Hall of Fame speakers and stuff. That's a really good book. He's also written one, Endless Referrals, as well. That's all along that. So I was doing this all my life anyway. But when I met Bob, I was like, oh, you know, Bob resonated with me massively, because I was just like, yeah, that's what I do. I used to want to be a go-getter when I was a young kid, and I was like chasing all the materialistic things and stuff. But I'm not materialistic at all, you know. And you know, when you're young, you think, oh yeah, I want to have a nice car, I want to have a big house, and all of that. What I realized is no matter what you got in life, you know, you know if you're chasing things, you always want that next level up or the next step, or never happy or whatever. So what I learned is just be happy with what you've got. Stop chasing things, just enjoy what you've got, and chase happiness and experience and fun times and all that sort of stuff. And actually what I learned as well is, you know, end product, you haven't got to worry about the end product in life. What you've got to worry about is the process. Enjoy the process and just keep doing the process, and whatever the end product is will come. If you're doing the right process, if you've got the right strategy, you're heading the right direction, just enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go Give Us a great book. Yeah. I do like Bob a lot. I've interviewed him on my radio show at the time, Talk Business, but yeah, really, really great guy.
Yeah. He's really, really genuine, nice guy. Like, you know, so I love people meeting people like that. Like, you know, Dr. John DeMartini, I met as well in the real world. He's a lovely guy as well. What a switched on fella, you know, one of the most intelligent. I've been on a couple of Brian Tracy events, but I haven't actually met him in the real world. I'd love to meet Brian Tracy. I'd love to get him on my podcast, because he's my number one favorite person to learn from.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Don DeMartini, I was on a space with him the first week I was on Clubhouse. I was with DeMartini, then with Les Brown, then with Greg Reed, then with Sharon Lecter. I went through a whole list of awesome, incredible people in a row, which was great. But yeah, my friend Neo Ross, Dr. John DeMartini, is his uncle. So I know Neo a little.
Yeah,
like, well, DeMartini is like a total different like level of consciousness, and I remember he spoke on Clubhouse, and I thought, how am I meant to even get close to that? You know, just the way he articulates, and I love his story too. You know, in terms of his own struggle as a child, and
yeah,
wow, incredible.
Yeah, he's read over 30,000 books. I think that's why I like listening to him, because it saves me having to read all those books. I'm not a massive reader. I prefer audiobook. I like listening to audiobooks when I'm out running or cycling or walking or whatever. Like, you know, that's where I do a lot of my listening. And I listen to a lot of YouTube videos as well. So I love Les Brown as well and his motivation. And he's up there as one of the people I like to learn off are the people who are the best in the areas I want to be the best in the world, like, you know, the people in their 70s, like, you know. And Dr. John DeMartini, who's all about psychology and physiology, which I love both of those subjects. So I'll learn off him because he's the best I've found in the world in that area. I love to learn about how to speak, how to be a motivational speaker. So a lot of people might have gone to Tony Robbins there, but I like to go to Les Brown. I think Les Brown's a little bit better myself. You know, that's my own judgment. In sales and marketing, it's Brian Tracy. You know, I do like a bit of Grant Cardone, but he's more or less saying the same things I say to myself. If I want to learn something, I need to learn off Brian Tracy, who's just that little bit higher level, that, you know. I still love Jim Rohn as well. Jim Rohn was good, but I like listening to Jim Rohn on YouTube still. You know, he's still the master. And then I listen to people like Kevin Green, Sharon Lecter, Robert Kiyosaki to do with property and all that sort of stuff, investments and stuff. Gary Vee a bit with marketing, just because he, you know, again, does the same sort of stuff as I do in marketing. So nice to just check. I probably got onto TikTok as a Gary V. There's stuff I do that he doesn't do, but you know, that's because we've been doing about the same amount of time, have similar sort of ages. Grant Cardone, I've been doing the same sort of stuff for the same amount of time as he have. I think he's been doing it about 35 years, maybe 32 years, something like that. So, because I started at 11, he started at 25. So I don't really, but I love listening to people reinforcing what you already know. That's always good. But I think it's always good to learn off the best you've met in the world in those areas, isn't it? Like, so many people go to people who haven't been there and done it and got the t-shirt, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Why are you listening to somebody like who hasn't dominated the space that you want to dominate? To go straight to the top person.
Yeah,
so I always like to encourage.
We all need people to bring their own experience, their own wisdom. And I think it's healthy to have, you know, a couple of different voices that can feed different parts of you, you know, rather than I've never really prescribed to going and focusing just on one individual and making them like putting them on a pedestal. I kind of take from or I glean from people that are really good at their craft. So whether it's taking something from Brené Brown or taking something from Gary Vee, you know, or any of these guys, I don't put all my kind of focus and eggs into, you know, one basket. I think, you know, even my children can teach me something.
Everyone can teach you something. Every day is a learning day, and you can learn gold off anybody, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I agree with that, like, you know. And yeah, and they say I don't put anyone on a pedestal, because the way I look at it is we're all equal, we're all human beings, we all have value to offer. Some people are special at certain things, and they're the people I want to learn those certain things off, those certain skills. But nobody's special, you know. We're all human, we're all made of flesh and bones and blood. You know, and that's the thing. I think sometimes people do put people up on a pedestal, and then they think like they're superior. It's like, nobody's superior than I am. Nobody. Somebody might be better at something than I am. Yeah, of course. Lots of people are better at loads of things I am. I'm also better at lots of things than other people are too. That's what makes us unique and individual. But you should never ever hero worship people or put them on a pedestal. They're just people. You know what I mean? Just go and chat with them and engage with them. I think there's a lot of people out there who won't engage with people because they put them on a pedestal and they think like they're somebody special. And nobody's special. You know, if I seen the Queen, if I was having a garden party somewhere one day and the Queen walked past, I'd say, all right, ma'am, how's it going? All right, Liz, how's your day been? You know what I mean? It wouldn't matter to me. I would actually probably say that to her. All right, Liz, how's your day going? I've done things like that loads of times. I just speak to people, like, you know what I mean? The way I look at it is everyone is a human being. Everyone wants connection. People like to meet people. And actually, usually, people in like celebrity or you know, high-end entrepreneurs and that sort of thing, people don't treat them normally. So they actually love it. They love it when someone just talks to them normally.
Yeah, it's very true.
Because yeah, everyone's always sucking up to them and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, actually, this person just wants to have a normal conversation with me. Like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so obviously you've gone into a bit of detail about some of the stuff you do, and you know, you're like me, you could probably spend 10 hours going through all the stuff you do and not cover it. But what's some of the sort of interesting stuff that you've got coming up this year? What's some of the stuff that you're planning on doing in the future? Tell us a little bit about how that looks like.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I've just finished writing my third book, and I'm just finishing the edits, but really hope to get that out in June time, and me saying that keeps me accountable to getting it out there as well. And I've wrote this book specifically for men, helping men be better men, helping men understand their emotions. But I'm also going to be talking about the expectations of being a man and the responsibilities of being a man, and how the world needs men to be real men and really hold a space for women. And you know, the way that I see some men treat women, both in what they say of them, but also how they even look at a woman, I feel like, you know, it needs a man to kind of bring some of these things to the fore. So that's definitely one thing that I can see. I think, you know, once restrictions across the world start to open up, it'll be interesting to see how the landscape again adapts and evolves. You know, and we've talked a lot about Clubhouse, you know, it being something that I think has been really timely, both in a personal level and a professional level, you know, feeling people a little closer, even though it's audio, you can feel love, you can feel through tone and expression, it feels like we're all a little bit closer. I think, you know, once life really starts to open up again, I think, you know, then we can really make some greater strides. But I think it's so nice at the moment, just being so much closer to people. And typically I always say, you know, my growth isn't necessarily doing anything different to what I'm doing now, but the growth really is on the platforms that I speak on can grow. The people that I work with in terms of their influence, you know, so if I'm mentoring more influential people, and if I'm speaking on greater stages that have more prestige, have more quality, have more kudos, you know, I'm already writing for one of the best magazines in Entrepreneur. You know, I'm starting to associate and represent other brands as well that I believe are the creme de la creme. So for me, my growth and my outlook is very much taking what I've got already. And it's just the who I do it with and on what platforms, which is really where my growth will be.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as me, really. Just get yourself onto bigger and bigger platforms so you can make more and more impact.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, as much as, you know, one of your clubs is called Screw the Big Rooms. So obviously, you know, a lot of those rooms that ego driven, not all of them, of course, because, you know, I think anything of value will obviously pull a crowd. So there will be exceptions to the rule. But I think, you know, for me, it's always quality over quantity. I would rather have engagers over followers, you know, on social media in particular. You know, people can even pay for like followers on Instagram. I've never done that, would never do that, because I'm more in the business of having genuine engagement over just presumption that I'm something that I'm not.
Yeah, definitely. I agree exactly in all those things as well. So I've got a shoot now for a Clubhouse room. So just tell everyone how they get in touch with you, and we'll leave it there.
Yeah, so just to finalize, yeah, my website is marksefton.com. It's got all my social media links there. And you'll see at the top of that, I say, speak the language of the business that you want to attract. And for me, business is really about speaking to the audience. It's the same with Clubhouse. It isn't about me or you, Mike. It's about the people that are listening. It's the same with when I write an article. It actually isn't about me. It's about the reader. So I guess my takeaway thought really is just to keep the audience front and center, whether you're in business or not, same in relationships, make it about the other person and you'll really grow as a person and as a business.
All right, brilliant. Yeah, so check out Mark on Clubhouse or at his website, and I'm sure he's on LinkedIn and all the other usual places as well. So connect with Mark, and that'll be another great person to network with. So nothing else left for me to say other than have a great day. I know I will, and thanks everyone for listening. Cheers, Mark. Thanks for coming on, and look forward to the next time we engage on Clubhouse, which could be in 15 minutes' time. If you can ping me in, and I can get rid of somebody I'm following so that you can ping me in. I think I need to follow you to ping me in. And hopefully I'll be able to vacate the room I'm in, which is starting in 1 minute. And I've got to jump onto that one now. And then hopefully in 15 minutes' time, I'll be able to join yours for 5 minutes or 10 minutes before I got to bounce back.
It's fine, Mike, and I'll prioritise you. I'll jump to you straight away, so it'll be all good.
Nice one. All right, then. See you soon. All the best. Bye-bye.